Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Yesterday on the show, we talked about ways to cope with holiday stressors, such as interpersonal relationships and unrealistic expectations in the midst of an abundance of food and drink. However, the stress is compounded for people who live in an already stressful environment of poverty.
Dr. Maria Perez says that whether it's social isolation, economic pressure, depression, or other issues, understanding the source of stress and employing self-care can go a long way. Perez is head of the Behavioral Health Department at 16th Street Community Health Centers, and she tells Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski where a lot of the holiday stress arises.
I think that we in general live in a culture where there's a heavy emphasis on materialism. And who doesn't like to have nice things or good things or things that make life more convenient or easier? But I think the root of that problem is the emphasis on materialism. When people become obsessed or overly fixated on having things, having stuff, versus being content with what they have, sometimes that I have often encountered many families where I can see that's a big part of the problem right there, just wanting things instead of other things that don't cost money, relationships, social support, experiences.
What kind of shift do you think it'll take to refocus that priority?
Boy, I think that, and I know this almost sounds cliche. I don't mean it to sound cliche, but it really does call for mindfulness year-round. And just being conscientious about why we want the things we want and what we teach our children, having less emphasis on that and maybe instilling more emphasis on gratitude for the things we have, but more importantly, the aspect of giving to other people, whether or not they have resources or not. You know, it feels good to give no matter what. It feels good to give to people who have resources. And maybe even better, giving to people who don't have resources. But really instilling that energy or that momentum of giving year-round, if that can transcend beyond the holidays, that can go a long way to combating the stress that many of us feel around this holiday season.
Right. And touching on that note of the stress we feel during the holiday season, what kind of things are unique to this time of year?
The expectation that there is togetherness, that there is joy, that it's that there's music, that there's family, that there's perhaps a little bit more alcohol than normal for a lot of us families in Wisconsin, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Not that that's particularly unique, but I think we see a lot more energy around this time of year. Certainly the numbers in the marketing would tell us that, you know, buying merchandise, the purchase of merchandise goes up at this time of year. What's unique to this time of year is the emphasis on buying and giving and also the hustle and bustle of getting things done in a timely manner, fulfilling the expectation that you have to give a gift because you're going to receive a gift. And again, that gets back to the emphasis is not any longer on what we are giving away, but what we are receiving for a lot of families, not everybody, of course. So that's, I think, unique to this time of year. And there is what we call this substance abundance. We have substances year-round. I know this. There's a lot of, especially they keep talking about the growing epidemic, opioid epidemic, and there's always a lot of substances, alcohol and whatnot. But for those who have been grappling with addictions, for example, this time of year can be a trigger. Perhaps one is on a relapse prevention plan and they go to a family reunion at this time of year and all of a sudden they're faced with temptations, or there's family conflict because there are members that haven't seen each other in a long time and they might be encountering awkward or unpleasant interpersonal interactions that maybe trigger memories of sad or upsetting, traumatic even, holidays from their past.
On that note of family tensions, you can also have the juxtaposition of being socially isolated during this time of year. How does that in particular affect even one's mental health?
Right. And that's in the literature. We do read a lot more about health in this day and age, and it's linked to social support. So those who are socially isolated, whether that's isolated from family or they don't have good social connections, there's a link between that and long-term health effects. So certainly more depression. Stress in general is linked to high cortisol levels. It's the stress hormone, if you will. And so we have higher levels of cortisol in our bodies. We have the higher rates of depression, social isolation, no one to talk to. And in particular, with those afflicted with poverty, sometimes that lack of access to health care, where there might be greater marginalization in those populations. And so it's all compounded sometimes for people who don't have those resources, those social resources, as well as the economical resources.
You noted that depression rises, and we do know from studies and numbers and even information from mental health hotlines, suicide hotlines, that calls go up exponentially this time of year. Do you think there's also the pressure that people can't be open about such issues with those around them during this time?
And put it this way, I think stigma is alive and well. I think that the expectation of being joyful and happy is particularly pronounced during the holiday season. So if you're sulking, you're a Scrooge. If you're depressed, you're a Scrooge. There's something wrong with you. So put that in the same bucket as stigma. And nobody wants to be a Debbie Downer. Nobody wants to make people around them feel down. So you put up pretenses or you avoid social situations altogether.
Now, with services available for people in poverty year-round, we should mention you're part of the 16th Street Community Clinics. But to your knowledge, either you can speak for your clinic directly or for other nonprofits in Milwaukee, is there a significant decrease in service availability during the holidays? Often businesses or people will decide to close, you know, not just for the day of, but even a long weekend or go away for a week. Is there a specific way that organizations in the area stay conscious of the community's needs, despite the needs of, you know, their staff as well? And that balance.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I have to say, most nonprofits that I'm familiar with, including where I am from, the 16th Street, you know, we stay open pretty much all the time unless it's Christmas Day or New Year's Day. So we're pretty cognizant of that. A lot of organizations in Milwaukee, I think, do a pretty decent job. I don't think that it's that they close their doors early. Other places might close their doors early. But with regards to, you know, behavioral health care, I'm not familiar with places that say, okay, it's Christmas, let's close our door because we have to go celebrate with our own families. I think I want to be hopeful here and say that I haven't observed that.
Now, what have you observed at the clinic this time of year? Are there certain patient trends or certain services that people are most in need of?
Well, unfortunately, depression and anxiety is rampant regardless of what month it is. And unfortunately, this time of year, we do see a spike in encounters for depression and anxiety. But it's really hard to tease out how much of it is due to the holidays. If anything, I want to say that the holidays, they provide an additive effect, an additive level of distress that isn't normally there. You know, our patients are oftentimes the same patients we see year-round on and off, and I'm sure we see new encounters. But I definitely can say with some confidence that holiday stress does show its ugly head sometimes as they come into our offices at the clinic.
Now, what can people suffering through exponential stress due to holidays, what can they do to get through the holiday season or to keep the focus on themselves without seeming to be distant or a Scrooge, as you mentioned? You know, it's the hard balance of self-care during a time when the emphasis is on others.
The emphasis is on others. The emphasis is on giving, perhaps giving what you don't have. So you ask a great question. Other than what I stated earlier, the emphasis on gratitude and giving, to really reach out, to not be afraid to reach out. The very reason we're talking about this is it's because it's a phenomenon that's observed in many. So with that said, we know we're not alone. We know that someone going through holiday stress and depression can rest in the confidence in knowing that they're not alone. So with that said, take that extra step of courage to reach out. There are supportive hotlines. There are support groups. There are numerous clinics in Milwaukee who can provide, if not the actual service, then at least the referral, the resource, to not stay socially isolated. If family is a problem or if they've been disenfranchised from the family, try to reach out to a friend or a church group of some sort. Those can go a long way. And obviously, practice good self-care, healthy sleep hygiene, good nutrition, exercise, stretching, those kinds of practices.
How important is it to also understand the source of our stress? We often put a blanket over it, like, oh, it's the holidays, you know, and then we continue and carry on.
Right.
But what's the importance of, you know, really getting down to it and being aware?
Boy, you ask really good questions. You know, and in my industry, it's always important to know the source, know the cause. But I think that more important than knowing the source is knowing how it feels to be distressed and what to do about it.
What are some steps that people can do to help themselves if, for example, they are living in poverty and don't have easy access to immediately go to a clinic or a resource? What's something that we can do in our own homes?
Well, I think that's going to be depending on the individual. I know there are many individuals, and I know this from my practice and my work, is asking the practical question of, well, when do you feel happy? Or when are the times when you have felt happy? When was the last time you felt content? That's a good question to ask oneself in one's own environment. And oftentimes the answer is, well, music or, you know, a good meal or a hot bath or a good book or calling a friend or hanging out with my sister or my brother. So really, based upon who the individual is, one can help to create pockets of comfort and contentness in their own home. But it's really about really examining what makes one happy. And hopefully the answer isn't stuff or electronics, because I think that's a dead end right there. That's why it's helpful to reach out to people, because other people can be a good sounding board and point out other non-material ways to be happy.
With the holidays, it's a finite calendar, I suppose we can say. But for many, the stress can go beyond this period. So what negative effects can that prolonged stress have on a person?
Well, you know, the most extreme example, and it's certainly not, I'm not saying this about everyone, the most extreme example would be suicidal behavior. But I think that the pervasive nature of prolonged stress and untreated depression would be lethargy and apathy, indifference. And I think that I've observed a lot of that in our culture, unfortunately. Just a feeling of not caring, sort of a feeling of being defeated. Learned helplessness is yet another word that we use in our industry to describe that sense of, well, no matter how hard I try, quote unquote, life beats me down. So I think that can be an effect too. It seeps into the way we think about life in general, and we tend to make blanket statements when in fact those very cognitions, those very thoughts are part of the problem. We have to correct the way we think. But getting to your question is we can seep into a thinking pattern that nothing's ever going to change, and we become beaten down and indifferent, and we don't even try anymore.
How can we take this thought process of self-care and of giving and extend it beyond this Christmas holiday season?
Every day, mindfulness. I think it's really important. I'm a huge proponent of reaching out to people, whether I know them or not. And I'm an introvert, so that might surprise you a little bit. But I, even coming up here to the seventh floor of this building today, I was with two women, and a nice hello, you know, a nice smile, or geez, it's cold out there. You might be the only person that talks to them. So I think that getting back to that idea of giving doesn't necessarily mean material. It can be a greeting. It can be assistance. It could be a gesture. It can be a smile, a nod of agreement. So I think there's a lot we can do to combat the effects of either acute or chronic stress. And certainly the holidays is an example of an acute state of, wow, things are elevated all around us and there's a lot of activity and a lot of expectation. So every day, doing our best to be good people, being good people, being kind people, and most importantly, teaching our children to be kind as well.
Well, that's a great note to end on. Maria Perez, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Maria Perez is the head of the Behavioral Health Department at 16th Street Community Health Centers. She spoke with Audrey Nowakowski.